Public News Service Daily Newscast for August 4, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Legislation approved by state lawmakers over the weekend to expand Nevada's vote by mail for November is already under attack by President Donald Trump.
During a special session on Sunday, the Nevada Senate approved implementation of a mail-in voting system. In a tweet following the action, Trump called it a late-night coup and said it should be met with immediate litigation. Sandra Cosgrove heads the League of Women Voters of Nevada and says the group supports broader vote-by-mail this year because Nevadans should not be put at risk of COVID-19.
We want to make sure they have a voting option that lessens or mitigates that risk. And so obviously when you're talking about a pandemic and people really can't be close to each other, mail-in voting is going to be the way that we want them to go.
Cosgrove adds that voting by mail is not a requirement because polling sites also will be open, but there may be fewer of them. I'm Roz Brown.
In a statement, Nevada Governor Sisolak said he is confident local clerks and registrars will run a safe, fair, and accessible election come November. President Trump said Monday it could be easier if Microsoft were to buy Chinese-owned TikTok in its entirety rather than a small part of the social video app because the name would be split across two companies, and suggested the company should pay the U.S. Treasury as part of the deal. That comes from CNBC. At the White House on Monday, Trump said, "I think buying 30% is complicated. I suggested that he can go ahead. He can try." That referring to the CEO. CNBC notes the president called on his background in real estate, saying it's a little bit like the landlord-tenant. Without a lease, the tenant has nothing, so they pay what's called key money. Or they pay something, Trump said. He added the U.S. should be reimbursed or should be paid a substantial amount of money because without the U.S. they don't have anything, at least having to do with the 30%. SNAP recipients in Minnesota being urged to renew their applications to prevent them from becoming ineligible in September. More on that from Mike Moen.
The Department of Human Services says more than 20,000 Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and Minnesota Family Investment Program recipients are being notified through the mail that their certification period has ended and that they need to reapply soon. Hunger Solutions Minnesota Director Colleen Moriarty says they were hoping the USDA would grant another waiver as it did in the spring, but that didn't happen.
So it's an extra step in a time when we should be doing everything we can to make benefits seamless for people who need food.
The state is asking the federal government to reconsider its request for a waiver extension. In the meantime, recipients who have received a renewal letter are urged to complete their application during August so their benefits won't expire next month.
Hunger Solutions estimates Minnesota has seen a 15% increase in demand for SNAP. This is PNS. On Monday, the nation's largest advocacy group for people age 50 and over launched a new voter mobilization campaign.
AARP wants to ensure that older Americans can vote safely during the coronavirus pandemic and that local, state, and federal candidates are listening to their top concerns. Kate Saracy is AARP Wyoming's volunteer president and former mayor of Casper.
The 50-plus voter, they vote in much higher percentages than any other age group, and candidates need to listen.
Saracy says people age 50 and older want to see Social Security and Medicare strengthened and lower prescription drug prices. At the state and local level, Saracy says top concerns include expanding broadband access for telehealth and making sure home services continue as state and local governments face budget cuts because of the oil and gas downturn and the pandemic's economic fallout. I'm Eric Galatas.
In 2016 in Wyoming, 81% of registered voters between the ages of 70 and 79 voted. In the same time period, just over half the voters aged 30 to 40 and only 34% of voters 18 to 24 casted a ballot. Finally, our Eric Tegadoff tells us in a major victory for conservation, President Trump is slated to sign the Great Americans Outdoors Act today.
Included in the legislation is a little-known but key program called the Land and Water Conservation Fund that's used for everything from improving access to public lands to funding city parks. Carrie Koska with the Nature Conservancy of Idaho says the program will receive its full funding of $900 million annually.
Passage of this bill is truly a historic and monumental win for conservation and has a lot of people very excited.
Koska says the fund regularly does not get full funding. Last year, for instance, it received $495 million of the $900 million it was supposed to get. Funds are collected from offshore oil and gas drilling. Idaho has received nearly $290 million over the past 50 years from the program, according to the LWCF Coalition. Jeff Cartwright works with LWCF as the Acquisition and Withdrawal Program Lead for the Bureau of Land Management's Idaho State Office. He says there are many examples of LWCF-funded programs across the state, including conservation easements on the Salmon and Snake Rivers to keep those places pristine. He also points to the Blackwell Island Recreation Site outside of Coeur d'Alene.
We basically turned a parcel of bare land, and now it's a massive recreation site with over 40,000 annual visitors, a four-lane boat launch, 130 vehicles, trailer parking, shelters for people to rent out and have parties and picnics at.
Koska says Idaho Republican Representative Mike Simpson played an outsized role in getting this bipartisan bill passed.
Congressman Simpson has long been a champion of Idaho's outdoor and natural places.
With the president's signature, additional funding for conservation projects will become available in Idaho soon. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.